You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Screen Heroes, episode 123. I am Derek, one of your weekly regular hosts. I have
sounds like Adam West
right now. Oh, I love it.
Well, more like Bruce Wayne, Adam West, or Batman, Adam West specifically.
That is very specific.
Yeah.
I have my two other lovely hosts with me, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Just fine and dandy, dear. Yep.
Good. Glad to hear it. This week we are going to be rewriting the DCEU's Batman vs. Superman, Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. You did not know, we are rewriting the DCEU. We started with Man of Steel in episode 119, if you would like to go back and hear that. Should we recap any significant changes that we made?
Yeah, let me just read this off. Okay, so we're getting rid of the Codex, and I think we cut all of Krypton.
Just the whole planet is gone.
Which doesn't exist.
Start with Clark working at the Daily Planet instead of ending with it. Lois is his boss and the lead journalist. The childhood scenes come in flashback. And Derek requested that we add in the freeze breath now instead of wait for Justice League to do it. Zod, Feyora, and Gronk. Is what we ended up calling him.
The trash can droid from Star Wars.
Right. We're bringing him over. Crossover time.
The big guy got frozen in a lake, we decided, during the big fight. That you said that Superman easily knocked him into a lake or a pond in the Smallville area and just froze the lake.
And luckily it's winter all the time in Smallville, Kansas.
He uses ice breath.
Yeah. Right, but in Kansas, it doesn't stay winter all the time. So he would just constantly keep freezing it with his ice breath throughout the year.
Basically, he would drown first.
Well, they have to breathe.
I mean,
anyway.
I guess we can define that in this movie. Superman kind of goes to space in BVS, so,
Feyora got blown up, but she survived. The goons and hench people were taken care of in Smallville. Clark and Zod were in Metropolis, and we show Superman picking up the wreckage. The after credit scene ends with Lex Luthor picking up a green rock. That is our after credit scene. So that is our
turns
movie.
Out it's just an emerald, and that didn't mean anything.
Fair enough.
I'm so good with things not meaning anything.
Everybody was like, oh, what's this mean? What does this Joker card mean at the end of Batman Begins? Well, it just means they like playing poker.
Yeah.
That's it.
Fair enough. All right, well, before we dive into this week's rewrite of BVS, let's cover some news. We've got news this week. Different things have happened. Should we start with Shazamgate?
Let's start with it. Do you have the sound effect? The lightning bolt sound? Never mind.
I didn't know.
Okay, we didn't have that
to.
Prepped, but no, Derek's going to prep that for next week.
It's a good idea.
I'll record yelling the Shazam and we'll go with that. But there's been a lot of stuff. I think we had previously known that there was going to be a trailer at San Diego, but somebody confirmed it, the scriptwriter, screenwriter somewhere, and then somebody confirmed that we're going to be getting, at the very least, a teaser at San Diego this week, likely Saturday, because that's when the WB panel is. We got two official photos and then a cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Well, they did release a photo of the kids today, of young Billy.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's three official photos then, plus the cover. Mm-hmm. And they all look great. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't be happier with them. The internet doesn't necessarily agree with us, but
well, the one later today with the two kids, I mean, it's just two kids, so.
Right.
They look like
kids. But
the
ones with the costume. anyone that shows a costume, instantly the internet goes up in arms about.
Man, like it's so amazing. Like, I don't think it's possible for a company to come up with a live action costume that people are just going to be okay with.
the Batman v Super, or the Batman suit was the closest I think I've ever seen. There was almost universal love for that suit.
Yeah.
Honestly, when they first showed it. Some people said the ears were too short on the cowl, but that was about the biggest complaint.
Well, I mean, I've seen complaints that the lightning bolt is too small.
Oh, yeah. Which, okay, I just want to address this as somebody who is a prop builder that is the first one to offer that as, like, something we sell.
Through Buster Props.
Through Buster Props. Check us out, Etsy, Facebook, Instagram. That thing's big, and I thank God that it wasn't bigger, because I did not want to have to make a mold bigger than that. Like, it's bigger. Like, holding it in your hands off the suit makes you realize that it's pretty good size.
It's hard to have a frame of reference of what, like, the old school original comic book cartoon version would look like, because it goes down to, like, his belly button.
Yeah, like, or past. I mean, it's big.
It's huge, and nobody else has an emblem that large. Superman, Batman, Flash, Green Lantern, they're all much smaller emblems. You know, so I think it makes sense that they made it not as insane.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just really happy to see a live action suit that's almost comic book accurate. You know, sure, the lightning bolt might be bigger in some versions or whatever, but it looks very, very comic booky. More so than either the Superman suit, more so than the Batman suit, more so than the Flash suit.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. The Wonder Woman suit looks pretty good, but it was very different than what the comic books looked like. So, I don't know. Rachel, what do you think? You've been awfully quiet. I know you've got some salty fanboy comments to throw in here.
I'm actually trying to host our channel on my channel just to help, but it's not really working. It says to mess with the gear icon. I've done that like 4 times. There's nothing there, so that's frustrating.
I can give it a try if you'd like.
Sure, go for it.
Okay.
All right, so... Yeah, this week has been nonstop me fighting with
fanboys.
Really, just grown white men yelling at clouds. Like that's just all it is.
Let's isolate that to the Shazam suit.
Okay, right, yeah. For the first one this week, it was the Shazam thing. So many people are like, he's ugly. Those boots are stupid, and
his delts are too big. His shoulders are so wide. Why does it look like pillows underneath the suit?
I saw one guy who literally said, why is he always smiling?
Because he's a teenager that just can become a superhero.
My response was, well, obviously some guy on the street told him he would be prettier if he smiled more.
Clearly.
So that's what made him smile. Clearly. Did you get it working?
No, we need to be able to get to your channel, so I think I need the full website to do that.
I was already on my channel.
You were on this channel.
No. No, you're wrong.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, how dare he be happy?
Yeah. How dare a comic book character that is known for, like, his bright demeanor and...
In the DCEU, mind you. Yeah. Right? The universe that people have complained is too dark, right, and too serious, now is also too happy and joyful. Right. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. And also too muscly. Clearly, there's too much muscles in these too many muscles, like, in a superhero movie.
But have you Diana seen Cavill Superman?
Gal was way too small.
Right.
She didn't have the tits for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they need to give her Shazam's shoulders.
And boobs.
And then everything would be perfect.
And make the lightning bolt longer.
And make the lightning bolt bigger, yeah. And make the cape not 4 stages.
I wanted
to go
down and touch his penis. I wanted to, like, really be...
No, go to the end. It needs to go, like, the tip needs to end...
Clearly. I think it should just come down and wrap around the inside of his thigh.
Now you're talking.
You know, maybe connect to the knee.
Right, like a bad snake tattoo.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
So, somewhat related, we did get the first official poster for Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They've been kind of like going back and forth between Aquaman and Shazam. Like, they release a poster for Aquaman one day, then they release a Shazam still the next day. So they've been really monopolizing this time where it's not Marvel, you know?
Yeah, no, they really have. Poster's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't show much. It's just him with a bunch of sharks, really, and some killer whales.
So many people were complaining that it was sloppy CG or sloppy Photoshop. And let me remind you, like, how crappy the Black Panther on the throne was. His head looked like a little bobbly head. And Spider-Man Homecoming was like 15 random floating heads looking off at nothing. Like,
Most movie posters are bad. I mean, right. Tomb Raider, she had the weird, like, dinosaur neck where she had to turn.
Yeah, Ready Player One, he had the, like, freakishly long leg in that one poster.
And then, of course, there's that the very famous Nicolas Cage movie movie poster where his hand is like the size of his head,
right?
You know, because
well, that's missing, actually true though. That's actually missing
the
real
gun.
Hand.
It doesn't have. They didn't Photoshop the gun into the hand either. Like, I mean, movie posters are usually bad.
I did.
That's
see
why we get so excited when there's a good one.
I saw a fanboy comment that this poster doesn't look like it's very underwater. To me, he looks like he's just hanging out and not underwater. And James Wan was like, well, have you seen people underwater? They don't really look like they're underwater when they're underwater. There's no, like, water beating up on their skin or, like, anything like that. They literally just look like squinty-eyed people in water.
Somebody else commented to James Wan specifically. He's like, I don't know why Jason Momoa has to wear leather pants under the water. And he was like, you know what? I actually brought that to his attention at one point, and he said, I'm Jason Momoa and will wear leather pants if I want to. So,
wow. That reminds me of the famous Armageddon story when Ben Affleck was like, wouldn't it be easier to teach astronauts how to drill than teach drillers how to be astronauts? And Michael Bay just said, fuck you. And yeah, go back and act.
Look, Momoa's got the spear thing, you know, so.
Well, he gets the trident.
In all fairness, Michael Bay forked over $20,000 of the Armageddon budget just to fix Ben Affleck's shit teeth. So yeah, Ben Affleck should have just shut up. Like, he got really great dental work out of it.
He did.
It is a difference between like a wardrobe option and the entire premise of the movie for Armageddon. You know, we don't have, there's no movie if it's just normal astronauts. Like, that was okay. The funny part of the movie.
Tell me
Steve
right
Buscemi.
Now that you didn't enjoy that film in 94.
Armageddon.
I still enjoy
that
movie.
Now.
Yeah.
Got
I
it.
Love
okay,
Armageddon.
Then just drop it. It's like Michael Bay's last good film. Okay.
No, Bad Boys 2.
Okay. Back when he actually did, you know, practical effects and everything exploded.
Man. That bridge scene, the car chase bridge scene. How'd you sink a boat?
That asteroid was a real set. They built the asteroid and then they
used. I thought
you were
going to say like, it was a real asteroid. I was like, oh my gosh, that budget?
They actually sent Bruce Willis to space?
Yeah, they sent all those guys to space. We could have never seen any of them again.
So NASA very rarely gives, like, people the go-ahead to film in there. They gave the go-ahead. Michael Bay told him that it wasn't sexy enough inside, and that he rebranded a health food store so it could be sexy NASA.
Well, you heard it here, folks. NASA's not sexy enough for Michael Bay. But they're sexy enough for me, so I'm good with it.
That's good.
Yeah. Alright, so that's DC stuff.
We got
stuff.
A little bit off topic there, but
I guess there's one more
We're
piece of DC news.
Entire Armageddon podcast now.
Yep, that's going to be Derek's pick. And
I might have to change mine now. I had a different movie planned. But so, the last piece of DC news for the week is that in addition to Batwoman showing up in this year's anticipated CW Arrowverse crossover event, they are already working on developing her standalone CW show.
Surprising no one.
No. And it's probably going to be like a backdoor pilot like they did with The Flash and Arrow,
absolutely.
I imagine. And,
which they should have done with Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity there. But yeah, at least we know Batwoman will be in this Earth instead of, she's a standalone universe.
But that makes you wonder. If she's in this universe, then where's Batman? Where's, you know, I mean, I know they've referenced Bruce Wayne and where it referenced Gotham, but, you know, Robins, I mean, or anything.
There's some
like,
of those weird retcons that people have done where Batwoman was actually first and Batman copied off of her. It's a couple of storylines. It was comic book legit. And now since everything's canon, I guess it's canon too in places. But they could pull that off. I just think it would have to be like
playing young Batman in.
And I would really hate that. I really think they just need to address it like Supergirl and have Batman show up once or twice. Like, Batwoman and Batman don't get along. They don't have to communicate. She is not part of the Bat family. She refuses to be buddy-buddy with them. So I think him just showing up maybe once is good enough if you establish that relationship and dynamic.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they need Batman now, but I just think it raises a lot of questions.
Yep.
If you put Batwoman first, that's fine. I'll accept it.
You're
I've accepted worse things
right.
in Arrow.
And that's why I'm so glad. First episode, season 2, Supergirl, Superman's right there, and
yeah.
They explain why they don't need to be around each other all the time. Like,
you gotta address the elephant sometimes, you know, but at least they're adding her to the universe, which I think is smart. I think that what they did with Supergirl and then Black Lightning is just a little bit of kidding themselves. you know.
That they're not going to cross over. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and maybe Black Lightning won't do it till season three, right? But, like, at some point, it seems silly not to cross him over.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not always going to work. It's a problem with the cinematic universe, as we've talked about it, like, with Thor the Dark World, for example. Like, where's everybody in London, you know, when that's all happening? It's one of the drawbacks of having a cinematic universe of some kind, but that's what they have. Yeah. So, and it seems convoluted the way they've been doing it, you know.
I agree. It can be, yeah.
So let's talk about the really important news, the live-action Rugrats movie.
I didn't even read the article, so.
So Rugrats is being revived by Nickelodeon as a cartoon, but they're also greenlit a live-action film.
You know, part of me is a little nostalgic for the 90s films where we just had babies and animals lead movies the whole time. So I'm really, like, nervous for that to get brought back, but at the same time, if anybody can make this acceptable, it's Nickelodeon. Like, Rugrats is easily their most successful show they've ever put on. It ran for...
I think it's SpongeBob now.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. I thought that was Cartoon Network for a second. SpongeBob... Rugrats ran for 12 years. SpongeBob has been running for 19 and will be ending in their 20th. So.
Oh, is that...
A good place to end, mm-hmm. you know?
But if they're doing a live-action Rugrats film, I mean, Tommy Pickles is basically the Doctor.
He is.
So he is, I'm just saying, you know, the next regeneration, Tommy Pickles...
could be a 9-month-old baby.
Are you saying it could be Quantum Leap with
Tommy? I'm liking this.
No, what I want to see is Tommy Pickles, like, grown up in this boring, like, office job and, like, hating life. I want him to go DCEU and go, like, super dark.
All of a sudden it's Office Space?
Yeah. Well, no, except not funny. It's literally just, you watch him go into the office and be sad.
Fight Club.
And then he has a kid that he hates and a wife that he barely can tolerate. And, like, it's just a terrible movie and something happens and then he has to,
we all know how meet up Ryan with Chucky Finster up.
That, like, lost an arm and, like, is...
Oh, my God! Lost an arm? Not in, like, battle. It's, like, to diabetes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Ryan was just gonna see how long we let him go with that.
I could have gone further, but then Rachel had to go, oh, my God! And then I was like, nope, I got to where I wanted to be.
All right, we need to pick things up here a little bit.
Are we done with the news?
We have a long movie to rewrite. The Mortal Kombat stuff we talked about last week, it's all BS. The creator said that none of that is true. He has not announced anything official at all.
It's James Wan, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's not the creator of Mortal Kombat, but he is the current rights to directing the next movie. So
all that's bull, so we apologize for that. Was there anything else that we wanted to cover?
Official images of She-Ra dropped, and they have been really diverse looking. Bo is reflective. I mean, he's a black kid. Catra is a little emo girl. Glimmer is a plus size girl, and She-Ra is, you know, a girl. So they've made them pretty much kids. Or people that are very athletically built as opposed to full-on Barbie doll models. And I'm okay with that. But it has really, really, really hurt the butts of 40 and 50-year-old men who definitely would have made fun of me for liking She-Ra as a kid. So,
I think the stills I saw look really cool. So
they all look... But yeah, like a completely new world and cartoon. And
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. It didn't really stand out to me as like, wow, that's cool. But it also didn't go, oh, what did they do to the characters? Like, it's fine. I mean, okay. Stills are stills. You can't really do anything except for like the Thundercats Go or whatever that is. It's like, okay, I can tell by that. I'm probably not going to like it. But this one looks exactly. Like one that I could watch and probably enjoy. I mean, I we'll see.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
But it didn't piss me off. I wasn't going to be a salty.
Yeah.
Of course, based on your judgment, I'm not old enough. So, you know, it works out.
Well, I'll just claim that. He-Man. I did.
Although She-Ra. It was technically a little bit before my time. It was, yeah. I think, 81 that He-Man came out or something like that. It was early 80s.
But you watched both shows. And, like, growing up, I watched both shows. But I only ever got made fun of for watching She-Ra because it was the girly show. And, like... I'm a cis woman. Like, girly's kind of my thing, so.
I didn't, like, tell people that I watched She-Ra. But, right? it was He-Man, right? He-Man Universe, so why not? But, yeah, I mean, it didn't piss me off. So, I'll be excited to see what the show is like, and, you know, that'll be my judgment rather than the art.
I'll deal with it.
All right. Well, I think that's it for the news segment, then. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Fine. All right. Well, then we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back to rewrite BVS.
Hey, guys. It's Derek of Red Shirts and Runabouts, the Heroes Podcast Network's dedicated Star Trek podcast series. Join us every Friday for new episodes covering everything from Star Trek Discovery all the way back to Star Trek the original series. We talk Star Trek news, review episodes, talk top lists like our favorite ships and characters, and we even pitch some of our own ideas like what we think a Quentin Tarantino Star Trek movie could look like. So don't miss an episode by subscribing today. Live long and prosper.
Okay, and we are back. So it is time to talk BVS, and Midnight Pearl in chat likes our figures that are up here. Yes, we have the... Thank you. We have a couple of the pop vinyls from the BVS film, and then the... What are they called?
Not a sponsor.
The metal...
Metal figures,
The metal figures of Batman, and of course we have sexy Jeff Goldblum, because he just belongs everywhere.
But if you want to sponsor us, please. We need your
Thank
money.
Thank you, Funko.
So, as we mentioned in episode 119 of Screen Heroes, we rewrote Man of Steel, the first chronologically and first made of the DCEU, which is the cinematic universe Warner Brothers has been working on here. And the next film is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yes.
Cool. So we're going to be rewriting that one. Where would you guys like to start?
I would like to start by apologizing, because there might be some heated things happening here, because traditionally there's this been some arguments centered around one person in this three-person group that can't accept anything other than us worshiping the ground this movie walks on. So if that happens, I apologize. I will go instantly silent and let anybody that wants to make their point make their point.
All right, look, let's just get it out of the way. I like this movie. Yes, I think the ultimate cut is better than the theatrical cut. I don't think that any of us would disagree with that statement. But I do like this movie. I watched it again last night. I still like the movie. It is far from perfect. But I don't think it's as terrible as everybody else thinks it is. So, okay, with that, where would you like to start?
Well, I feel like Ryan and I get to have our own reviews, since you got to have yours just then.
That was not my response. No, that's how this works. Ryan.
Because if we have a review that's not that, then...
We've already reviewed BVS. You can go back and listen to that. I don't remember what episode number it is.
It was basically me yelling at Derek.
At the time of the podcast, the original BVS review, I enjoyed the movie. I wanted to go in enjoying the movie, because I absolutely despise when people just rag on something that hasn't been released. So I was a little jaded going in, and I liked it out of spite. I watched the Ultimate Cut, and I liked that even more. Last night, I also watched BVS again. I found it disjointed, and I found the information they were dropping to be unexplained. It was exposition without context, and that was really bothersome for me. There was so much going on. There were too many characters. So many things could have been cut, and it would have been a better film. I think there were too... Like, it was everything but the kitchen sink syndrome. So, I'm saying there's a good movie in there, and that's why we're doing this.
Okay.
To dig through it.
For reference, our analysis is what we called it, of BVS, was actually episode 15.
Wow, that was an early one.
That was a long time ago. This is 123.
It was 2016 that movie came out, so... Uh-huh.
So yeah, episode 15, so I don't even remember what we sounded like back then.
Great. So. I'm sure.
We were down here.
Loud on that episode, probably. Yeah.
We were down here.
We had the snowball.
We had the snow. So anyway, you can go back and listen to that if you're curious about our individual thoughts. It does get heated. But yeah, so let's rewrite this.
I think we should start at the beginning. Zack Snyder directed BVS as well as Man of Steel. And I think like 3/4 of Justice League, we're not sure.
On 3/4? No. Well, I mean, like, relatively the Snyder
like
Cut.
Like 3/5?
The actual release was more like 40%, I think.
Okay. That's fair.
And he and his wife both produced Wonder Woman as well.
And Suicide Squad, I thought.
I'm not sure.
I thought they just like wrote a check on Suicide Squad.
I mean, probably. They probably did, but I don't know.
So if we're starting at the beginning,
yes,
I'm just going to say we're cutting out Bruce Wayne floating out of the cave in that whole scene, and we're cutting out the Waynes dying. We don't need to see that again. We've seen it in a bunch of other movies. Even if you've never been to a Batman movie,
We've seen the Wayne's. Here's my only hesitation.
My only hesitation is the possibility of them doing Flashpoint and the actors that they cast in those roles.
Don't care.
You really don't care?
No.
Because we're rewriting this movie. We're not rewriting a potential Flashpoint movie. I'm saying I want to make this movie better.
Here's what we could do. And this is a compromise for both of them. In the future, we could write the Flashpoint movie. We can keep this exact scene the way it plays out. Not the kid falling in the thing. That was awful. Bad CGI.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
the actual Wayne's dying and the really beautiful soundtrack to it, but it's still useless cinema at this point. We can put that in as a flashback.
In the Flashpoint movie?
In the Flashpoint movie.
I just liked who they cast as the parents at that possibility.
I do too. So I love the casting, but I don't think you need to know who they cast as his parents for it to make sense in a Flashpoint movie. Like, you can just have those actors be his parents and it'll just be accepted.
That's fine. I mean, we cut the whole Krypton thing. I don't have any problem cutting the death of his parents again.
Or the floating...
That was really bad. I also didn't like...
In the theater, I was like, is this a dream sequence? What's just happening?
Ever falling.
I also didn't care for the Man-Bat cameo, I guess, that he has.
Can we just cut out like every single dream he has but Nightmare?
I actually have cut out Nightmare, cut out all the flashbacks on my list.
Can we cut out the Flash?
Isn't that the Nightmare sequence?
It's like right after. It's a dream within a dream.
I don't think we need any of the dream stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they didn't end up using it anyway, so it's not like we have to worry about
it. It's just Easter eggs.
That's what they ended up being.
Yeah.
After watching BVS, I assumed that they were going to have a larger impact on Justice League, but they didn't.
Right.
So they're not really relevant.
That's fair.
Right, maybe...
Which is the same reason why we should cut out the Wayne's murder, because we have no idea if it'll even be relevant.
That's fair. That's fine. Yeah, that's fair. All right, so no dream sequences.
Correct.
No death. We also don't need the funeral.
Right.
Right. So what's the very first scene after that?
You guys have watched it significantly more recently than me.
It's the reporters,
it's Lois
right?
and going to Jimmy the Olsen in the desert.
Okay, which I also want to get rid of that whole thing.
So, okay, I don't want to get rid of the whole scene.
Can
I
we
want to change
it?
The scene.
Yeah, okay.
Because it does lead into why he goes to the Capitol.
Right, but there's other ways of dealing with that, too. I just think that whole scene is so far away from the main story. Like, bring it into Metropolis.
Why not have them want to
just use that, use his destruction of Metropolis as a reason to why, like, the military is now looking for an anti-Superman, like, in case something like this happens again and they need to shut him down. And that's why they hire Bruce Wayne to be the one that, or they work with Lex. How about that? That'll even tie better. They hire Lex to help come up with a way of cutting out Superman. And then that ties into Rachel's kryptonite.
You don't want Superman framed in any way by Lex.
I don't think that's necessary, really. If you really think that Lex needs that extra layer, then sure, I guess we could find a way to work that in there.
I mean, I guess if he doesn't need to do it because Superman's already in that bad spot, then it's extra.
Right? I think that Lex framing him is not really relevant. You want to show that Lex has qualities that make him more sympathetic. I mean, he wishes he had Superman's power, sure, and things like that, but he also is just a human and wants humanity to survive and be the best they can be. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think we need to lean on him being conniving. That was part of my complaint too, was Lex himself, but I don't think he needs to be like manipulating everybody behind the scenes. Like, he can just, in this one, he can be the villain. Obviously he's a villain, but maybe not make him like having to manipulate Superman and manipulate Batman and manipulate Clark and Bruce all at the same time. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely think it does. And it solves one of my issues. Like, we don't need Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, I think that. And don't need him to die, for sure. Like, what's the point of that?
Well, that was the thing. Like, if you're going to use him, having him be, like, a CIA operative who gets murdered in the desert seemed like a real extreme from the fact that it's supposed to be Jimmy Olsen, and right. He was, like, never a character like that. Like, he was just in... It was just a name to throw a name out there that people would recognize rather than it just being reporter number five, right? Which was weird. So that's fine. I'm good with that. I don't have any problems with that. Okay. The point is,
I just wanted to bring it home, is all. Because, yeah. Like, when it happens in, like, some Middle Eastern country, everything else, what jurisdiction does, you know, the U.S. military have over any, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know, I guess Superman's a U.S. citizen or whatever, but it just, I don't know, bring it home.
Clark Kent's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, exactly. Superman is obviously an alien.
Well, right. But
and he's not the U.S.'s weapon or anything. Like, they shouldn't be claiming any ownership over him. So just bringing it home gives the U.S., like, a military reason to...
Right.
Yeah, because it is weird that if it's an international incident and Superman is not a citizen of any country, that it wasn't the U.N. that was having the hearings, right?
Right.
That would make more sense if we were keeping...
But wasn't it... It was Senate hearings, yeah, right? It wasn't, like, U.N. It was just, like, the United States Senate.
Right.
So...
Yeah. Which doesn't really work for that. And I think that having hearings specific to the events in Man of Steel also makes a lot of sense. So my question is, do we need to adjust the timeline at all? Because this movie is supposed to take place 2 years after Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to show the public's problems with what happened in Man of Steel, with the destruction of so much of Metropolis, maybe we need the timeline to be tighter?
Maybe. Or have a slight time skip where Lex is, like, working on figuring out what this Green Rock is, and, you know, he's not going to be able to know that that's Superman's weakness right away, you know, it's not, I don't know, you have the military, like, hire him shortly afterwards, and then they can have a short time skip or something. I mean, I don't even know that that's necessary. We can just do it right after. Don't think that affects anything.
They never really explain how Lex knows that kryptonite is bad for Superman.
Right.
We just know that he knows that Batman needs it.
Right. And I mean, that would give some time to have the scientists analyze it and, like, analyze the Doomsday, or the Doomsday, the Zod DNA, because we still had him kill Zod at the end, right, of our Man of Steel?
Yeah.
So we have that DNA, and he can test it on that, which I think is implied in Batman v Superman, but isn't really, like...
Okay.
I don't know.
So Superman's dealing with...
I'm not a script writer, just
spitball. So Superman's dealing with bad publicity. He's dealing with court hearings in and around Metropolis in the United States for the events that happened with the fight with Zod. Concerns over his power. He takes down a drone at the end of the Man of Steel, right? We didn't really change that.
Right.
Right. So the government is concerned that he can take out anything he wants whenever he wants. So that makes sense. Right, to keep that in there. Lex is thrilled because that's what he really wants, so he doesn't need to try and frame Superman because it's already happening.
Are we changing casting at all? Because I feel like every single one of us had a problem with Jesse Eisenberg at the time.
I had a problem with the way it was written and his performance, but not, like, because of choices he made.
Right.
You know, like, I think we can keep him as an actor, but they need to change the way the character was written.
Well, first, there is no reason that I can think of, and tell me if I'm wrong, that he needs to be Lex Luthor Jr.
Like, I don't think it matters. I mean, now Supergirl plays off of that, too. Because Lena is Lena his Luthor, little yeah. sister.
I mean, I don't know. It's either way. It's
it
not
just seems
deal.
Like an unnecessary level. Like, why do you need that level of, well, it's my dad's company?
Because
why?
All of a sudden he's weird because his dad is abusive.
So it's supposed to humanize him? Is that the idea?
No. It's not supposed to humanize him.
Are we
all.
Keeping the Jolly Rancher scene? I think
no,
that's what we really need
oh
to
my
get
God.
To here.
That was the most sexual thing of 2016. And don't you...
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can agree to that, but it's creepy as hell.
I didn't say it was, like, alluring and attractive. I said sexual. Sexual doesn't always have to, like,
look,
make
you
your
want
parts
me, if you
tingle.
Want me to put Jolly Ranchers in your mouth, like...
I think she does want that, Derek. We're going to do that live on the air after a short break to find some
Jolly
Ranchers.
Oh my God, just because it's not my king doesn't mean it's not somebody.
It's just a joke. I like Jolly Ranchers. No problem with Jolly Ranchers. Anyway, it's a weird scene. We don't really need it.
So we're cutting that scene.
Be bald from the beginning.
Well, so, okay. So there's some issues that we have with this, right? So if we want to bring it home, we could cut out a huge, that entire chunk of the plot by just having the kryptonite being found in Metropolis.
Why wouldn't part of it be found in Metropolis anyway?
The other world, what was it called? The world engine, the other world engine was in Metropolis. One was in Metropolis, the other was in the ocean. So
why can't there be report? Like, why can't we just have one new thing? Maybe Anderson Cooper says it. We can keep his little cameo.
That's fine.
About multiple tiny green rocks being found all over this part of
and the every United time States they show and the green rocks, they're going to show a LexCorp truck or van or something there with them, like with a tent,
like two guys in suits.
Yeah, exactly.
With the LexCorp logo on it.
So that it's obvious that LexCorp has something to do with this, or they're trying to control the situation or whatever.
Because the whole reason you have to have the Jolly Rancher scene and all that stuff with the senators and everything is because he needs to import a foreign object across international borders.
But see, if he's working with the U.S. military, then they can just give it to him. Give him access.
Give him access. Or if it's in Metropolis,
no reason
he could steal it pretty
for
easily.
Him to blow up the Capitol and kill a whole bunch of people because the military's and the government's already on his side. Here's my thing about that scene.
Okay.
While it makes Lex out to be a very ruthless businessman, it also proves Superman was set up in the Africa situation. It proves that Superman is a target and not the person causing the this destruction, this most recent destruction. Clearly, he's the guy who caused the Metropolis destruction and the Smallville destruction 2 years prior.
So part of my rewrite was also to focus more on Superman, because the interesting thing about having Batman and Superman in a movie together is that one is supposed to be the dark and one is supposed to be the light. And in this movie, you had the dark and you had like the slightly brighter than dark. Yeah, slightly less dark. I want to see Superman smile. I want to see him fly
even
around.
Wonder Woman's darker in this movie.
Superman's best moment is as Clark Kent when he crawls in the tub to be.
Which I want to get rid of.
That's fine if there's other things, but that's the moment where he looks the happiest, you know? It really is. It's the moment he is smiling.
We don't really get any smiles from Superman in this movie. Like, we get Justice League and the weird mustache smile, and that's about...
Part of the problem, though, is that the Superman that we're left with is the post-Man of Steel Superman, who is sad that he had to kill Zod. He doesn't want to kill anybody. He felt forced to do that. The government has turned its back on him. A lot of society has turned its back on him. So he feels like the world is against him. We haven't really changed that.
Right, but where you go with that is that he's happy saving people.
We did change that, by the way. At the end of our first movie, Man of Steel, he was we wanted him to be a part of rebuilding the city. Maybe that's continued this whole time.
Then what are all of the hearings for and the bad public opinion?
We don't. Maybe there's diversifying. Maybe, like, we have our government literally at odds currently at this moment. Maybe there are other, like, that's the thing. Maybe people are like, well, he's helping with all this, so we should cut him some slack. And then others are like, no, he needs to stand trial for, you know, causing it to begin with.
So then I guess the big question is, what is the catalyst to cause Batman to not trust him?
He's an alien.
And want to fight him.
And the other people are aliens. Maybe it is, but
I mean,
we don't know.
The justification in BVS as it was made does make sense, right?
Yeah.
They leveled half of a massive city, right? And in the wake of that, nothing seems to be any better. This guy can take down satellites and drones whenever he wants to, and he crosses international borders and people die.
Which is a reason why Batman would be...
Right? So Batman thinks he's a threat. And that, of all the things that happened in BVS, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
right?
so we don't have to... it's just spun a different way. If we want to see Superman, the good Superman, that's the character we want to see, then he has to help rebuild. And maybe he attends all these hearings, but maybe Batman just thinks that's a front.
See, I don't even think that we need to go that far. I think if you just show Superman... go out and rescue a kitten from a tree for a little girl, right? Or something. He just needs to save one person. He's taking joy in helping one person, and he's trying to change public opinion one person at a time.
Something small that Batman wouldn't see.
Exactly. Very 1950s, like rescuing someone from a burning building.
Absolutely, like the cheesiest of superhero things. And he's happy doing it. And, you know, then he goes back to his apartment and sees that this hearing is happening or something like that. You know, you just want to, you want to know that when he's doing his Superman thing, that he is the brightness and the light, whereas Batman is the darkness and doing it out of fear and intimidation. And you want to see that dynamic between the two of them, because that's what makes it interesting. And I have that in my notes too. I want to see like those complete opposites of each other. And that's where their fundamental disagreement comes from. I wanted to have that the whole fight basically be a misunderstanding, and have it be Superman thinks Batman's methods are too extreme, and that he's doing things the wrong way, and then Batman thinks Superman is an alien spy or an alien threat that can do all these crazy things. Just like you said, the motivation the movie is all right for him.
Yeah.
So I think that instead of, I don't know, I think that that's a better way to do it than have him... I want to get rid of the whole Martha thing. Like, I know that's being memed to death, and I don't want to get into an argument with Derek about it, but I think the whole Martha storyline can be cut. It gives nobody anything.
They can find friendship on a different ground other than the fact that their mothers are
named. I have that written, too. How to do that?
So then, real quick then, does Lex serve any real purpose in this movie?
Absolutely. No, I mean, he still creates Doomsday.
Yeah, I still think... Okay. I'm still keeping Doomsday in the movie.
Okay. I was actually hoping we would change that and actually have it, you know, be... Doomsday.
So, I will say, this is just a fun fact about me. In 2013, when they announced Ben Affleck's casting, I wrote the entire film that I wanted to see out of this. So, I already have my ideal, and we are already, like, so far from it, but it's okay.
Okay. Well, I know a lot of people had a problem with Doomsday, not just the way that Doomsday looked, but the origin of Doomsday, because that's not the comic book origin of Doomsday. And so part of me thought this would be our opportunity to change that.
I don't really... I thought Doomsday was a... the way they did Doomsday, his origin was fine. It did not bother me. I'm not a comic book purist. I don't, like...
Things have to be adapted to a different medium, and things have to change. Lex Luthor, in the end, needs to be the one pulling Doomsday strings. I don't care if he looks a lot less psychotic and a lot more controlled while doing it, but he still needs to be the puppet master. I really don't care if, you know, it's by blood sacrifice in, you know, the womb of the Kryptonite ship, or if he... legitimately births it out of his own urethra. He should control it.
Let's keep on, like, you know, track a little bit.
So we're saying that he is going to shoot it out of his urethra. That's what we decided, or I think there's two of the three of us are okay with that.
I thought things were going so well. So Lex is not going to be manipulating.
Right, Batman and Superman.
So then Batman he steals the kryptonite on his own.
I will say this.
I have that written in my...
I absolutely adore that Lex knows both of their secret identities. I want there to be some sort of acknowledgement that he knows that, so that, like, we can use it as potential leverage later on. Like,
well, I thought we could keep the party.
I didn't think the party served any real purpose.
Well, the party serves a few different purposes, right? So, it serves the purpose of Bruce and Clark meeting and Lex showing that he knows... why it's significant that they're meeting. It shows Bruce meeting Diana and her then stealing the information.
But is Diana even in our movie? Because she served no real purpose to the plot.
Well, we have to be a little... Okay, so if we start changing too much, then any movie after BVS might not exist.
I'm not opposed to having her in the movie, but I want... we're trying to make the movie better. Yeah, I just feel like maybe she just shows up at the end in the final fight, and then it's kind of like...
Okay.
I don't know.
So do we want to remove all...
Do
we want to remove all references to the other three heroes?
Yes. Yeah. Well, completely. Save it for a teaser or whatever at the end. Because you and I have disagreed about this, the superhero Facebook thing.
I didn't
thing,
say the way. Email. I said any references to.
I'm not arguing. Well, about... yes. In the actual film, and I'm also getting rid of the tagline Dawn of Justice. I don't... Like, we all know this is a Justice League prequel. But yeah, get rid of all the references to the other ones, unless it's like so minutia that it's like only the biggest of fans are gonna get.
So you just want
a Batman and Superman movie,
because then so you just want Wonder Woman to randomly show up in the climax.
I don't really want her there at all, but you want her in the movie and think it's important. So.
Well, I think that.
I think she was the best part of the entire film.
And
she
most people do. And I'm concerned.
Other than the warehouse scene.
So I know we have plans to rewrite the rest of the DCEU for the most part when we get to Justice League.
Well, why can't we just add her in Wonder Woman? Add something that shows how she met Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, and then that's covered and we don't have to worry about it. And it can be in her own movie where she's the star and not in a movie that's supposed to be starring two other male, white male actors. We can have it be the woman-led superhero.
Well, you're removing the one diversity, you know, diverse person.
It wasn't a super diverse movie anyway.
No, it's not. It's not.
We probably shouldn't spend too much time debating Wonder Woman.
I'm trying
to figure out how to put her in a logical standpoint. The fact that Lex has something of hers has proof that she is, you know, at least 80 some odd years old is a pretty high amount of leverage. But it doesn't make sense when you factor in the rest of the film. And that is another reason why I believe the film is a bit disjointed.
Can we just figure it out in the Wonder Woman rewrite?
Like,
it has bookends for the modern movies, so why not
her role, it may be convoluted, but it is weaved into several different aspects of the film. So, you know, if we remove all references to Aquaman, Cyborg, and Flash, if we remove Lex manipulating Batman and Superman because he's just going to make Doomsday to fight Superman, that's all that he needs to do, then we don't need her at all.
Right, which is why I said just put it into the Wonder Woman movie. We already bookended in modern
times. Yeah, it's just tough because she is the best part of the movie.
But our movie's going to be better without, you know, because it's not all bloated like that.
Yeah.
With a bunch of extra stuff.
I'm just trying to think about it in context of the universe, because we may not have gotten a Wonder Woman movie.
But we did, and we're rewriting the DCEU, so, I mean.
My one issue with that is, if he has this one thing of Wonder Woman's, then it never showed that he recognized her either.
No.
She stands out. Bruce made that comment that she was a pretty girl, and she stands out, so. It would have made sense for Lex to also recognize her, and he didn't, not once. And while this Lex is spastic and needs a heavy dose of Ritalin, he is intelligent.
Yeah. I mean, he may have just missed her. They were only together in that one room, and he seemed very off-kilter in that scene anyway.
Yeah, can we have him be on-kilter? I love smooth-talking, manipulative, cold Lex.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate
it. And I think Eisenberg can do it.
Like, that's what he was in Social Network. Like,
he's a very good actor. I have no doubt in my mind that he could do the Lex Luthor we were expecting.
I like my Lex Luthor to be a charming asshole.
Okay.
I would just prefer that rather than internet mogul creeps you out.
All right, so we remove Wonder Woman.
Sad.
Which is a bit of a bummer, but I understand it. We remove the so-called superhero Facebook thing that everybody seemed to dislike. We remove the manipulation of Batman and Superman by Lex.
And we've removed Lex kidnapping Martha.
Okay.
I did have also on here that the actual fight needs to be earlier in the movie, first of all.
Thank you.
It needs to be a better fight. My idea for it was that I've already said, like, what causes the fight, so I don't need to go into that again. But I want them to both just beat the crap out of each other. Like, if you've seen
Superman,
The Dark Knight Returns,
ass kicked,
or
and it
Reddit.
It wasn't really explainable.
It needs to not be a one-sided fight, first of all. They need to beat the crap out of each other until basically they're both fighting to stand. And that's when they develop a mutual respect for each other, because they see how strongly they both believe in their causes, and that neither of these causes are right.
The problem is, though, that the fight was the way that it was, because in a real drag-out Rocky IV fight, there's no fight, right? I mean, Superman flicks his finger and Batman's, you know, out in the atmosphere somewhere.
And we showed that a couple times. Like, he showed him...
But that's Superman's character. We're showing more of Superman being a good guy. Superman is not gonna, like,
if Batman can actually hurt Superman, like, if the kryptonite thing is still a part of it,
yeah.
Batman knows how to fight. Superman doesn't know how to fight. So that's why it's kind of one-sided one way or the other. If there's kryptonite, Batman wins. If there's no kryptonite, Superman wins. That's always been the answer to that question. Like, I don't think it could ever be a stalemate.
Well, we need to make it a stalemate. How? Because, okay, so Superman realizes that being up close to the kryptonite is causing a problem. And he has his freeze breath that we've seen in Man of Steel. He has
maybe his heat vision. Something differently. Maybe instead of kryptonite grenades that explode in his face.
It's in his suit. That's my whole point. Yeah.
But then if Superman stays far enough away, he can melt him. Right? Freeze him until he suffocates.
Well, like, Batman is a master of tactical fighting.
Maybe he also has kryptonite batarangs.
I mean, I don't think we need to delve into the mechanics of the fight too much. I think that we're not screenwriters.
No, we're not, but we do know the characters and we know the comic books. And I think
I'm a screenwriter. I wrote a movie in college.
None of us are professional screenwriters.
I got paid for it. I'm professional.
Okay. The point is, we know the characters, we know the movies, we know the comic books. My point is that I don't see how the fight could be a stalemate given who these characters are. If Superman was fighting Shazam or Wonder Woman, right, or Batman was fighting Green Arrow, like, those things can be stalemates because the characters are actually on the same footing. But in order for Batman and Superman to fight each other, they can't be on the same footing because either Batman gets obliterated or Superman gets beat by a better fighter.
Okay, well, I mean, in the Dark Knight Returns comic book, they made it a more evenly matched fight. So, I mean, it's been shown in...
Except that's after they're old friends and Superman doesn't want to hurt him.
But Superman doesn't want to, like, kill him anyway.
Yeah, he shouldn't want to
kill
him.
That's in his character. We've already shown he's a better guy than that. He's not...
Who's not completely fixated on killed Zod, the bat.
And he doesn't want to do that again. So, I mean, I think that there's ways that that could be written. And I just think that the whole movie is called Batman v. Superman.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Was 2 hours into the movie or however long, an hour and a half into the movie. I just think that there's a better way to do that. And I want them to get the mutual respect from each other through combat and through realizing that, you know, I want Superman ultimately to make a noble sacrifice and just say, if you think that I need to be killed, then kill me now. And Batman to realize that he doesn't want to kill him.
I have an idea. So we have two standoffs. You remember that first one where he runs into Superman with a car and Superman just, like, knocks the car. What if
Bat is dead.
What if they actually fight right then and there with the kryptonite earlier in the film? And Batman takes him down fairly easily with the kryptonite. Superman gets a few hits in, but Batman just kind of leaves him sickly from the kryptonite with some poison. And Superman's fine in the end, but... then we flash forward and it's just, we're to the part with Doomsday and Superman is just fighting the crap out of Doomsday and losing. And so Batman throws his hat into the ring there and the two of them have their own, respect at that point.
We'd have to tone down Doomsday a little bit and not have him just be beam face all the time.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't beam face all the time in the comics or even in Death of Superman.
I mean, you could tone him down a bit, let Batman use the Batwing a little bit, have him still have an armored suit.
See, so the fight with Doomsday, I had one of my biggest problems with that fight was that Batman basically couldn't do anything and he just sat to the side shooting grenades at Doomsday. So I want, while Wonder Woman, or if she's not in the movie... Superman is fighting Doomsday. Batman goes and does what he does best, which is tracking people and using his detective skills to find Lex and beat the crap out of him and find out, you know, something about the or get some more of the kryptonite or whatever he has to do, and delivering that kryptonite to the fight,
mm-hmm.
maybe in his Batwing or whatever. That's fine. I don't care. Yeah. But I do want Superman to still sacrifice himself.
I mean, I like that because we can keep, if we do it that way, we can keep the warehouse fight scene.
Yeah. Without needing
Martha.
Right.
Because that's a pretty cool fight scene. Like, so I don't want to tone down...
in the warehouse, it's in a corporate building or something.
I mean, that's fine. I don't want to tone down who Batman is in this movie. The fact that he is overly brutal, I think, is significant to the character. This is a specific Batman.
You're just like up and murders 40 people or something like that.
I think it's important to this version of the character. This is a version who believes that Gotham is hopeless, that everything he has worked for in his life has come to nothing.
Keaton murdered, so.
I mean, really.
Like in real life and in the Batman.
Christian Bale's Batman and Adam West's Batman, those are the ones that don't kill people.
No, Batman. Christopher Nolan's Batman killed people, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that whole, like, I don't have to save you. No, yeah, that's still murder, sweetheart.
I know. I know it is, but, that, you know, whatever.
But I definitely, like, in my notes had a thing saying Batman needs to be doing more Batman-y things. Like, that was the best part, was the warehouse. And doing, you want to show Batman's skills, and we don't, so when you cut out his backstory and all that stuff, add more Batman-y stuff in there so that we can see that he's the dark side, because we're adding more Superman light side stuff in. You know, you want to get that dichotomy in the movie.
I think that's fine. So then this leads to the big question. Does Superman still die?
Yes. I want him to still die. I love that sacrifice, personally. But it is early in the universe to have a death of Superman. I feel like you two are looking at each other like you're expecting each other to say something. And
well, okay, my issue with it is super early, and it never actually gives Batman and Superman an opportunity to actually be real allies, like, purposefully, right? Like, yeah, Doomsday is wrecking the town, and we hated each other an hour ago, but we have to save these millions of people, so we don't have a choice. It's not really allies, right? They're not friends, they're not teammates, they're not, you know, they're not going to join the Justice League. I wanted more of that, so when Superman makes the sacrifice, it shows really what was lost to everybody.
Yeah.
And then you can show how it's difficult to fill that void without having him.
And Batman can see that he wasn't just an alien here to, like, spy on us because he literally just died saving humanity, you know.
I mean, one of the important things about that relationship is that, and the reason the Trinity is such a big thing in DC, is that they need each other. They balance each other. They bring different things to the field. Right, and Superman can get certain things done that Batman can't, and vice versa. And we don't get to see any of that if Superman's dead this early.
Rachel?
So, honestly, my ideal movie would be completely different. And Superman, it would be revealed that Superman's not actually dead. People thought he was.
So it's going to be like Death of Superman, where he's in the Kryptonian peace slumber or whatever.
Absolutely.
No, I actually liked the Rock thing at the end, and when they changed that for Justice League, I was disappointed. So I'm with you on that.
I really wanted it to be that Lex had kidnapped him, that with Doomsday. Doomsday carries off the body, and the military is absolutely helpless. And, you know, they are having him baked in that red sun, or maybe in this because they don't know about the red sun. He's just surrounded by kryptonite, so he's in this, like, poison coma.
But what about Doomsday?
What about him?
I mean, like, why wouldn't he still be roaming around destroying everything?
Because Lex is controlling him. I said that from the beginning.
But that's
what I would want. You two have pretty much written this whole thing by yourself. So, like, if I got my way and Lex had been controlling him, then Lex can just power him down. Doomsday, when he was first created, was a mindless nothing that whoever held the power to controlled whoever could defeat Superman. So, like...
So they just fight him again sometime?
No. Like, that's just silly. Like, Lex could never power him back up again, and we could have other things and better stories. But I really like the idea that Lex would just hold Superman, and he would just be powerless. And then Batman and Lois could work together, detecting where he is and how to get him back and save him. And
when maybe does that happen?
Either at the end of the movie or in the next movie. In Justice League.
Seems like a pretty low point to end the movie on. In a depressing already universe. You've got dead Superman and Doomsday just, like, still around. But BBS being controlled by Lex.
Was really disappointing.
It was disappointing, but at least it didn't end on a, like, everybody dies, everybody... no one succeeds.
All right. So if we do that, then I feel like we have to be careful with the next film because...
I'm not saying we have to do it. Like, seriously, you guys have written this whole movie.
I don't think that that's fair.
Okay, well, but it's true.
Okay, so let's wrap things up then at this point. So Superman is in Lex Luthor's custody. Doomsday is with Lex.
You don't have to do that.
And
you don't have to do that. You don't like that, so don't do it.
So Wonder Woman's not in it, so that doesn't really matter. So then... I guess that's it. That's the end of the film then. Right? There's nothing else really to do. Do you want to do the monument stuff that they do at the end of BVS?
I really like the official Arlington funeral. I thought that was very pretty.
Sure. I mean, I'm fine with it either way. I mean...
Okay, so then we leave that,
yeah,
and it ends with a pseudo-funeral, because they think he's dead, but, you know, they're trying to honor him kind of thing, right? Do we want to end it at all with Bruce finding out about anybody else to kind of lead into Justice League, or do we want to leave it with him just kind of looking on to things?
I want Lex to send some Facebook messages to Bruce Wayne, being like, hey, check out these sick files I found. And send in some files and some gifts for Bruce Wayne to check out. I think that'd be a better way to do it than what they did.
I think Lex, our end credit scene could be like the Lex and the Deathstroke scene, only we have it 3 movies earlier.
I do think that they should introduce some of, like, the Justice League members, and being serious about it, I think that Batman should be, like, have been maybe, like, 3 months later or something. He's been realizing that Earth needs someone other than him to protect. So he's been doing detective work to come up with potential. I wasn't going to get into that because that's going to irritate Derek.
Well, no, but what is he searching for?
Searching for unexplained things that maybe people were, involved in. You know, obviously the Flash is somewhat active. You know, there's security cam footage of him. So why wouldn't Batman be able to figure something out that there's something weird going on in Central City? Or
they haven't explained how Barry gets his powers. What if it just ends with Bruce inspecting that explosion?
Oh, that's interesting.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that.
And we all know that it's Barry. Because I'm thinking about it, like, why would he care on a dad who... Or why would he care about a dad experimenting on his son? And why would he, like, seek out a fish guy?
That's the thing. Like, right now, he only thinks it's aliens. So he wouldn't think to look for humans. Like, people on Earth who have abilities. Because so far, nobody has.
Or nobody's come forward, at least. And yeah.
Right.
Right, but there could be other vigilantes like him. Like, it's...
Well, okay.
So maybe he doesn't have powers.
Is this because you want Arrow in the next movie?
That's what I really wrote down. No, I do think that it's not crazy that somebody like Oliver Queen or, you know, there's a lot
Dino
of...
Lance,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be...
Yeah. I mean, it's not crazy to think that just because Batman's the only one we've seen on screen that's, you know, no power guy...
In the comic books, he and Zatanna are lifelong friends. They met as kids. What if he visits Zatanna and we go into
Justice League Dark? And then they meet Swamp Thing.
Well, see, that's really interesting because you could tie in Shazam a little bit easier if magic already exists.
Absolutely. Magic, like, let's just set that up. Magic already exists. Maybe he doesn't know to the extent that Zatanna is powerful in Zatara, but maybe he just knows that she's into the occult, and maybe he thinks that she can be a lifeline to something else, to something better, or more, or different.
I like that idea.
Okay.
It's a different direction to go.
Like, they've been talking Justice League Dark for 6 years now and won't get off their asses, so...
So I guess we have to do it.
We have to do it. I thought we already did that. Didn't we cast a Justice League Dark movie
We did cast a Justice League Dark movie. We will use our castings. We are not going with Suicide Squad, and our DCEU Justice League Dark is the third film.
But wait a second. How are we going to fit Slipknot in there, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't have the DCEU without Slipknot.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, guys.
Looked at you and I was like, the band?
No, he's gonna join. That's the real twist. He's gonna join the Justice League Dark.
Gonna be poor Adam Beach, who can't ever get a good role.
He's gonna use Swamp Thing's vines to tie knots really well. Yes. And everybody's gonna thank him for his service.
We're obviously kidding.
Are we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, Right.
Slipknot's not going to lead the Justice League Dark.
I didn't say lead, but I do like where you're going with that.
Okay, so do you guys want to do that instead of doing Suicide Squad next?
Pitch Justice League Dark movies? Have we not done that?
I feel like we did that.
We cast a Justice League Dark movie.
Did I do a pitch? Because sometimes I do that.
We did not do a collective pitch together. We are writing our DCEU. We knew this was a possibility to go off into a tangent. I'm just presenting the opportunity. Suicide Squad can still exist. We can even make the two movies.
Wonder Woman is even in Justice League Dark right now in the comic books. So we can even still bring Wonder Woman in.
That's interesting.
In a logical, she leaves it, I think. Not shoehorned away.
Huh. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, that gives us a lot more freedom to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Well, Batman has to be in it.
Right.
We've set that up.
Batman and Wonder Woman leading the Justice League Dark.
Or just being a part of it. Like, maybe not lead, but...
But, I mean, who else is going to lead instead of Batman or Wonder Woman? I mean,
Constantine and
Swamp Thing hates all people. What's he going
to
do?
I mean, not to go on that tangent, but Batman doesn't necessarily want to run things. He wants to fund it. Right? He wants to keep it going and keep it well.
Swamp Thing's going to get an Iron Man suit.
Sweet.
It's writing itself right now.
And Wonder Woman, I mean, I guess we haven't really written her into this universe yet, but the Wonder Woman we're left with at the end of BVS is the Wonder Woman who doesn't really want to be part of the world. So why would she want to run the group? Like, that's the problem with not having Superman,
I think it's just
right?
because they're so much more powerful than most of the other members. I guess they're not... I think we're going to be running into it.
Yeah, can we just make, like, Zatanna and Diana be drinking buddies? And maybe they don't know...
Constantine and Diana be drinking buddies.
Maybe they don't
That's
know
what
each
I want.
Other's, like, other life. Maybe they met at a really seedy bar and they just...
I just want Constantine to hit on Wonder Woman the whole time. Because that's the kind of douchebag he is.
Wonder Woman to eventually be like, yeah, you'll do.
Sure, why not? And then him to just be, like, laying in bed, smoking a cigarette, like, in awe of what just happened.
And she's like...
All right, there's just...
Like, she just broke him.
She's like, nice try, champ.
Maybe next time.
All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to stop, now that we've also written the Justice League Dark film.
No, we did not. We talked about one scene.
Do we know what we're talking about next week?
Next week is SDCC!
Oh, right.
Thank goodness I don't have to finish Cloak and Dagger before next week.
I know, right? That's the week after.
So, in all fairness, Cloak and Dagger is taking a mid-season hiatus right now, so there's only 7 episodes instead of 13 to watch.
Oh. Yeah, Ryan.
I don't know. Okay. I thought there was 10 episodes when I looked, so I could be wrong.
Maybe there's some teasers in there or something?
Maybe. It could have been.
So, yeah. So, San Diego Comic-Con is this weekend, so next week we'll be wrapping up some of the more exciting and interesting news. I'm definitely hoping... that there will be some Star Trek Discovery stuff.
Expect at least a half hour of us discussing the Shazam teaser.
And Aquaman.
I mean, we should be getting an Aquaman trailer.
No, I don't care about that.
I do.
I mean, I care about it, right?
But
we know that Shazam is going to be what saves the DCEU, not Aquaman.
I'm looking forward to Shazam more, but that's mainly because I love Zachary Levi. He's one of my favorite actors. I can't wait to see
him. That says a lot, because, I mean, you were really excited for the Aquaman.
I am very excited for Aquaman. I'm really looking forward to it, but, like, Shazam, I'm very pumped for Shazam. All right, everything just looks perfect for that, and I love Zach. I think it's a perfect casting choice, so I'm really excited. All right, so SDCC next week. Ryan, where can people find you?
I already plugged it at least once, but Buster Props, we do sell Shazam stuff now, so get your Shazam stuff.
All right,
right now, please. I need the money. Just kidding.
Ray, what about you?
I am Siren Ray. I am going to be at ChapelCon this weekend in Albert Lea, Minnesota. I will be streaming on Saturday. I can't decide if I want to stream the after party or my body painting panel. Either way, I'll be streaming from the con.
Cool. Anything else?
You're right. I've been working on a calendar. Oh my God. I have a Kickstarter that goes live on July 30th to sell the calendar. I'm very excited. Check out my social media. I've released 4 images so far for it. I hope you're as excited as I am.
It is your ridiculous pinup calendar.
It is. I did all video game characters. I did 14 different video game characters. I had 4 women join me for a 15th shoot, so it's crazy.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. And I am the Star Trek Dude. You can find me mainly on Twitter. I'm also on Red Shirts and Runabouts, which is our dedicated Star Trek podcast, and Gamer Heroes, our video game podcast here on the Heroes Podcast Network. You can find all of our shows at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch, or heroespodcasts.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can join us live Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts and chat with us live. Thank you to everybody who did that this evening. And a special thank you to our Patreon contributors. A special thanks to Doc Rev, Jordan, and Trackboy, our top three Patreon contributors. Thank you so much. Helps us buy equipment, keep the shows going, the website up and the lights on. So we will be back next week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.